All right, we're set. I came up to Pastor Haynes, and he said, "What's going on?" So we're going to keep my class up here, and I'm gonna preach at 10 o'clock. He goes, "You're not preaching." He goes, "You're teaching." I said, "You're right, I'm teaching. I'm so used to getting up at 1 o'clock and preaching, but yeah, you know what? This is a teaching service, and I thank God for what He's given me. I told Pastor the other day, I said, I got everything down. The Lord gave me my message. It got changed 3 times since last week. And never, you just got to, you know, you got to pray and see what the Lord would have you to get up here and say, and what He wants you to speak. If I ever get up here and start talking about what I think I should say and what I think, that it's just going to fail. And I believe God is with a man of God when he's preaching what he wants him to have, or teaching what he wants him to have, what he wants, what he's given me. God forbid if you ever want to follow me, I can lead you in the wrong direction quick. But the Lord will never lead you in the wrong direction. How do I know that? Because I'm a living testimony of that. There's one thing that keeps me in this life, and that is His strength, His power, His love for me, His grace, His mercy keeps me walking in this Christian life. It's not been an easy thing. But so many people come up and say, "Well, what keeps you? What makes you want to do this Christian thing? What makes you want to live this life?" And now today I'm going to teach on the benefits and gifts that God gives us. There's benefits, there's gifts to when you're serving God. And I'm just going to pull a few of them out of the Bible, and may the Lord be with my mouth and just give me the wisdom to what He would have me to say. And my first verse is going to be Matthew 16. We're going to go to Matthew 16. And I'm going to be all over the place, but that's the Bible exercise. I love it. I like getting around in the Bible. God is good with that. I mean, man, I look forward to reading my Bible every morning. I look forward to reading my Bible with my family. We pray together. Luke went for a sleep study last night, and we're getting ready. They came in and shut everything down, hooked him up. He said, "Dad, we got to pray." I said, "Get busy, buddy." That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to pray. He just started praying for people and himself and his sister and his mom. Even praying. Now, there's speakers there. They can hear you in there. He prayed for the lady. He said, "Lord, thank you so much for her. She's been so nice to us. We just pray for her life." That's what he said. That was something. What a blessing to hear something like that. And what a testimony. Yeah, absolutely. So, amen. That's a benefit and a gift right there to have your son. I didn't teach him to do that. That was just laid on his heart. The Lord put something in his heart. He said it. Childlike faith. He says, "You got to come with childlike faith." That's what Luke has right now. Autumn, the little ones, they have that childlike faith. When God gets into their mind and gets into their heart, man, what a difference it makes. But anyway, this world promises benefits and gifts, but they are only temporal. The devil has blinded the minds of the people into thinking that they are forever. If you ever looked around today and noticed the way people live today, they live for the moment. They don't live thinking there's an eternity they're going to have to answer for. They don't ever live thinking, "Man, maybe this will kill me, or maybe this won't be good for me, or maybe I'll die doing this." They don't live that way. They live for the moment. They live for the minute. And you know what? They're so blinded by these things of this world. They're so deceived by it that they're not thinking about eternity. That's a scary thing, because back in the days, I'm sure I hear the stories all the time, people used to think about their eternity. Today, people are not thinking about what's going to happen after death. There's no fear in them whatsoever. You mean to tell me you think people are afraid of anything? The way they walk around, the things they do, the things they say. I mean, they're out there. You know what they're doing? They're slinging drugs on a corner. They're dying to give you drugs. That's what their whole life is worth. They're dying over a woman. They're dying over a spot that it's not even their property. The government owns it. And they're killing themselves over this thing. Friends are talking in friends' ears and getting to do this and getting to do that. And they're dying from it. "Oh man, it never hurt me. Go ahead and try it." And that person ends up dead. They wake up in the morning. They go out. Like my father. He got up that morning. He used to cook 2 eggs and either bacon and sausage every day. That's what he got, with 2 pieces of toast. That's what he got up and he cooked. By 5 o'clock, he was dead. Never thought about his eternity that day. And that's a scary place for people to be. But that's, you know what? They see the gifts. They see the benefits of this world. They see the gifts and the benefits of the devil and what he promises them. And they grab a hold of that and they run with it. And guess what? They end up for eternity. I don't even have to tell you. You already know. Matthew 16:26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What is it worth? What is your soul worth today? Is it worth the temporal things that are here on earth? Hey, listen, you're not going to bring them anywhere. When you die, you cannot bring these things with you. You will leave them here. The book of Proverbs talks about that all the time. In Ecclesiastes, he says, you know, these people, they work and they kill themselves for getting all this stuff and get all these riches and all this wealth. And then when they die, somebody else gets it. You will not take it with you. But the rewards that you work for here on earth today, guess what? Them rewards will be with you in heaven.
Amen.
He's got them rewards for you in heaven. That's a benefit. That should be a driving force behind your life. I mean, listen, I'm just telling you now, I don't sit around and think about the crowns all day long and what rewards I'm getting, but I'll just tell you what, his love for me motivates me enough. His grace and what he's done for me motivates me enough to want to get out there and be with these people and talk to people and, I mean, just do what he wants me to do. That motivates me. You know, when you love somebody, Tim, and you do things for them, that's a motivation, correct? Do I need to say any more? Did we not get that? If you love somebody, you know they love you. Isn't that motivation enough to get out there and do something? I think it is.
Amen.
I'm just telling you. I was saved from the gutters, man. The Lord got me out of the gutters, man. He raised me up out of something that I thought I could never, ever in my entire life get out of. The other day, my mom was talking to the pastor. She said, that guy that he used to be, I couldn't stand him. This one here I love. That was hard for my mother to see me go through that stuff. He raised me up. I had no hope. There was no hope in my life whatsoever. I mean, I was a drug addict, an alcoholic. You guys know the testimony. And the Lord raised me up from that. Isn't that enough to be a driving force in my heart? I would say yes. That's a benefit that I get.
Amen.
That's a benefit that I get. You know who else benefits from it? My children, my wife. They benefit from me being this way.
Amen.
Broke up, but still getting out there working the hours that I can work. Still loving my family through hard times, good times, bad times. I love my family. I told Lee many years ago when I first, I said, Lee, I love your daughter. I'm going to love her forever. Now, I didn't think that was going to come true because I fell off the wayside. I just fell off. But you know what? The Lord didn't give Amy a new husband. He saved me and gave her a new husband, a new man. Somebody knew that she could be with somebody that would love her. You know what? When my wife has a hard time, she knows she can come home and lay her head on this shoulder and I'll hold it. I'll hold her, I'll love her, I'll take care of her, and I'll do everything that's in my power to make her happy. I tell my wife, as long as I have God first, as long as I have this order right, my family will always fall in order.
I like it.
It does. It just falls in order. It's better that way. That's a benefit. How about a benefit of having your wife say, I'll follow you anywhere and mean it? We've been through some rough times, man. She said, as long as we have each other, we'll always have a home. That's what she told me. My children, I mean, to see my children looking up to me as a hero, I never thought that in a million years would I ever have children that want to look up to me for anything. Anything. And I just thank God, that's a benefit. This is just some of the few of the benefits that we reap as a Christian. Just a few. I'm going to get into some more. People today live like they're going to live forever, but all must face death and then judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man to once to die, but after this, the judgment. The things of this world will not and cannot stand or hold up against the judgment of God. It will be burned up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happened to them when they got in the fire? All the worldly stuff burned up. The only thing that survived was what they had spiritually with God. I'm just telling you now, the things that are in this world, I'm just telling you now, will not stand up to the judgment of God. Not a thing in this world will stand up to His judgment. But the Bible's clear when it says, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. It's very clear on that. And that doesn't mean just the world in general. That means the things in it. The principalities, he's the prince of the air. The devil's the one who's got everybody blinded, their minds thinking that everything is just okay all the time. It's not. Your soul is in jeopardy. But how many people really think about their soul? How many are worried about their soul? Nobody, I mean, unless you've been under good preaching, nobody's worried about their soul anymore. They live their life any old way they want to. And think that, hey, I don't have to answer for this. Think, you know why? Because God didn't cast judgment on them, and immediately they think they're getting away with it. Oh, God forbid. 1 Corinthians 3 says, for other foundation can no man lay, lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundations of gold or silver or precious stones or wood or hay or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer the loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I'm just telling you now, the things of this world are going to be burnt away. They are not going to stand up. You can't go to God and say, Lord, all I have is the things of this world. That's what I'm going to give you. He's not going to accept it. He's not going to accept it. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be holy, for I am holy. This is a calling that he gives to every believer, not just preachers and evangelists and Sunday school teachers. This is something that he calls everybody to be. He says, go out there and be salt. You know, I preached a sermon the one time. It said, called to be salt. Because we as Christians are called to go out there and give some flavor to these people. What's that flavor? Jesus Christ. Go back and read the Old Testament and Leviticus, and you look at the sacrifices. Every sacrifice had to be done with salt.
Right.
Go look at it. Why? We're the sacrifice. It says, Romans 12:1. It says, be a sacrifice. Jesus says we're salt. You see, all that comes together. Why? Because he came to fulfill the law. Listen, I'm just telling you now. He fulfilled that law. And when we become that human sacrifice, he calls us out there to go be salt. How can we be salt? How can we be salt if we're more like the world? I'm just telling you, I don't want to fit in with the world. I was talking to my mother-in-law this morning. I said, I just don't dress in that way and all that because I don't want to be part of the world anymore. You know what the world did to me? It destroyed me. It took my whole entire life from me. I want nothing to do with it. Now, I'm just going to tell you, dressing doesn't make me who I am today. Jesus Christ does. But because I have Jesus Christ in me, I dress the way I dress. And I don't say nothing about anybody's clothes. Dress the way you want. God either change your mind or leave you just the way you are. This is for me. This is what me and him got together. So anything that's of this world will be destroyed. It says here, I skipped the whole thing that I wanted to read. The Bible says in Psalm 49:16, be thou not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. That's it. Once you die, you're leaving it here. It's it. Everything you work so hard for and you put before Jesus Christ, I'm just going to tell you now, it's an idol in your life. Anything that you stick before God is an idol, considered an idol in his eyes. What is it to be rich? What is it to be popular? What is it to have everything in the world and lose everything? You're going to lose it. But your life doesn't have to end there. You can have eternal life. Eternal life. For eternity. Hey, it's, you know what? If you don't believe it, that's fine. You don't have to believe it. But I'm just telling you now, just because you don't believe it don't mean it ain't real. And if you want to go ahead and take that chance and keep playing Russian roulette, then you go ahead with that. You go ahead with that. That's sad. For when he dies, shall carry nothing. His glory shall not descend after him. It says, don't let it bother you when people have money and have nice things and live good, but are without Jesus Christ. They're missing the most important thing, and that's Jesus Christ. This is their reward. Their money, their riches, you know what? That's the reward. When they close their eyes and stand there before Jesus Christ, it's it. They're going to the flames of hell for eternity. I don't care if you believe that or not. It's the truth. It's the truth, man. I'm telling you now, you're going to stand there and you're going to face the flames of hell and you're going to wonder, what did I go wrong? You know what he's going to say? You chose the world over me. You chose the world. People say, well, how can God, if he's so loving, cast people into hell? He doesn't cast people into hell. People choose to go there. You know what he chose? The cross of Calvary for you. He made a way for it to be saved. So don't sit here and blame God because you go to hell. God made a way for you not to have to go there, but you just don't want that way. Choose the world. Choose the ways of this world. This is their reward. It's so sad. For us who are believers, ours is yet to come. It's in heaven. It will never end. The benefits and gifts of God are eternal. How's that? They're eternal. We're never going to lose them. It's going to be there forever and eternal. I mean, it's just never going to end. When I step into glory, bang, and I meet Jesus Christ, my gifts and benefits, guess what they are? Eternal. I'll have them for eternity. That's hard to fathom as a human being. Because I'm used to all the gifts and stuff of this world diminishing, going away, losing its flavor. That means nothing to me anymore. But when I get into eternity, guess what? They're going to be there forever. It's just pleasures forevermore. Could you imagine that? I can imagine, this is what I'm thinking in my head, that the pleasures of God are definitely different than the pleasures I would think.
Yeah.
But His pleasures are going to be for eternity.
Yeah,
so just think about how good that's going to be. That's a benefit that I get. Dale Morey gets the benefit of spending eternity in heaven with pleasures forevermore. I'm all right now. Brother, I just hope it's a big feast. We can eat all day long. Not gain any weight. 33 and a half years old. Stay the same size. That's a benefit. Being saved and being a child of God is a wonderful life. Though it can still be hard and challenging, we can have difficult times. The benefits and gifts of God far outweigh the things that may come along in life. Far outweigh I'm just telling you, the gifts and the benefits that God gives us far outweigh the problems in our life. And I believe that's what makes me and my wife so strong, is that, you know what? We just pray on things. We get down there. I mean, we thank God for family. Thank God for church family that prays for us. I mean, thank God that He gets us through these things. Listen, when I ran into a bind back in the days before I got saved, I would run out to the streets. And I'd make my money that way. And I made good money. Real good money. Now I run to Jesus Christ. Now I run to the Lord and say, we need help, Lord. I got myself in such a financial bind that we need your help, Lord. He gave me the answer. And I thank God for the answer He gave me. And one day, maybe I'll preach on that. I don't know. But I'm just telling you right now, He gave us our answer, and that was a benefit, knowing that my Heavenly Father has given me the answer, took the time to show me and get us there because of my mistake. My mistake. I made a mistake. I trusted in something that I should not have. But it didn't tear us apart. Didn't tear my family apart. We still came to church.
Amen.
When things all blew to heck, we still came here.
Amen.
Why? Because I know there's benefits here. Right here. We have a benefit that we have with us all the time. And if you think that you just have to go to your prayer closet for God to hear you, you're crazy. Pray anywhere, at any time, at any place. He's there to hear you. He will hear you.
Amen.
That's a benefit that you have as a child of God. Well, unsaved people, He hears their prayer. He hears their prayer of repentance and their desire for help. I don't think He just shuts their ear off unless they're out there living for hell on purpose. You get in trouble and you want to cry for help. God knows the game.
Yeah,
He knows the game. I mean, look at here. If you don't think He knows you, you just don't know His word. That's the problem.
Yeah,
that's right. Because He sure knows us. In Psalm 68:19, we read, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." What a benefit to have as Jesus Christ is our Savior. Is that what it says? Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. That's His life. Why? He's the God of my salvation. Yesterday, today, and for eternity. Loadeth us with benefits. Loads us up. Here. Here's a benefit. Here's a benefit. Here's a benefit. The thing is, what benefits are you focused on? Which ones are you seeing? Which ones do you want to see? Oh, I want to be saved. Oh, I want my life to be changed. All right, good. Let's just start doing this then. The Lord starts leading me. Guess what? Oh, no. This over here looks a little better than that. All right. But don't complain about when God takes away your benefits. He's got benefits for you. Hey, you know what? I'm just going to say this. I'm going to be straight up and blunt about it. Forget about what people think of you.
Right.
I'm just telling you now, you want to stop salvation? You want to stop from ever getting saved? Go ahead and continue about worrying about what people think of you. You'll just never come to that point. You will not allow the Holy Ghost go any farther in your life because you're worried about what somebody might think of you.
Come on.
I preached it last night. My mother-in-law was sitting there. I read the Bible like we do at night. And I just said, I don't care what people think of the Morey family. We are who we are. It's okay for you to believe what you want. We're going to believe this Bible. We're going to believe Jesus Christ. You know what people think? We're weird. You know why they think we're weird? Because we're normal. Christians are normal, but yet we're considered weirdos. But they can pierce everything, tattoo everything and everything else, but we're the weird ones.
Yeah.
You see, when does that take place? Where normal people are called weird and weird people are called normal. You see? So I don't care what people think of me. Did you ever tell anybody that I don't live my life for anybody sitting in here? I don't dress to impress you. I don't live my life to make you happy. I do it to make Jesus Christ happy. And you know what follows? My family. My family's happy. That's a benefit. Let me just read. So we see Jesus Christ is a benefit. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That thief, obviously, is the devil, the flesh in this world. That's all he's come for. Doesn't say anything. What's he come for? He cometh but to steal, to kill, and destroy. That describes the devil, your sin nature, and this world. That's all it wants to do to you. It wants nothing else. There's an answer for that. Let me continue on. It says, Jesus says, "I come that they might have life." Now here we go. "That they might have it more abundantly." Jesus wants us to have an abundant life here on earth while we look forward to our eternal home in heaven. Psalm 103:1, David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed."
Amen.
What benefits?
Amen.
What benefits to have from a holy God who gives those benefits to his children? What's it say? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." Don't forget them all. Well, what are they? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Forgive it. They're done. Wash away in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's over with. It's over. Oh, I'm just telling you now. I always say this is one of my favorite sayings. There's nothing like going to bed like having a clean and clear conscience.
Yeah, amen.
Getting up in the morning. Hey, I may have done something wrong that day, but you know what? I get on my knees and confess it to God, and it's over with.
Amen.
I don't have to carry that with me anymore. But I'm just telling you now that hell and destruction that I left behind me, God has forgotten them. He's healed things in my life that I never thought possible. I take zero pills to keep my mind right. I take Jesus Christ and I put him in my heart, my mind, and my life. And that's what keeps me straight. Yeah, I still get depressed. Yeah, I still go through ups and downs. But I'm just going to tell you what, I don't need a pill to make me straight. I need Jesus Christ to make me face what I need to face, see what I need to see. You know what I get from that? Here, let me just show you what it says. "And healeth all thy diseases."
Amen.
Yep. "My sins are forgiven, and he heals all my diseases." How about that? How about that? What a benefit to having Jesus Christ in my life, where I don't have to sit in my bed tortured at night after night after night after night after night after night. What an absolute benefit. Then he says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Wow! He takes your life and he gets it back from the destruction and puts it where it needs it. He redeems it. He's taking your life out of the absolute misery and the destruction that you're trapped in, and he removes you from it. He says, "That's mine now."
Amen.
That's mine now. Out of the destruction. Oh, I thought my life was going to be destroyed. I lived a whole life of destruction. I didn't ever see any light at the end of the tunnel. But I had a Savior who did. I had a Savior who went to a cross and who knew that he was going to pay the price. You see, redemption means you're getting something back. He paid that price on the cross and he redeemed me from my destruction.
Amen.
He took me out of that thing and set me over here. He redeemed me. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. We talked about those in Psalm 51. Who satisfy that mouth with good things. With good things. Are these not all things that we would all want sitting in this room? You mean to tell me you wouldn't want your iniquities healed? You wouldn't want your diseases healed? You wouldn't want your sins forgiven? You wouldn't want good things? You don't want him to take you out of the destruction that you're trapped in to set you in a better place? Are you sitting here telling me that that's what you want? You'd rather stay where you're at? I'm telling you, as I stand here today, that's where people rather stay. They're happy in their misery. Because they don't believe that it can happen for them. And I'm just telling you right now, God is not a man that he should lie. He is not a weak being that you think he is. He can take you from your absolute misery and destruction and put you in a place that you never thought possible. Let me just ask you one question, Mom. Would you ever thought you'd see your son up here teaching the Bible? Ever? That's right. Never. Never. You ask any of my old friends, most of them are dead or in rehabs or prisons or whatever. You ask them, would you ever thought Dale Morey would ever be sitting up here teaching and preaching behind? No. All they were told you, no way. Why? He redeemed me from that destruction. Destruction. Oh, thank you. It's not a wonder why David says, oh my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Do you think I care about what people think of me after what Jesus Christ done for me? I could care less if you make fun of me if I'm a Christian, or you don't like the way I dress, or maybe like the way I say something out of the Bible or something. That's okay. Bless his holy name for forgiving my iniquities.
Amen.
For healing my diseases. For taking me out of the way of destruction and putting good things in my mouth. Oh, that's why I don't live for people. That's why I don't live for people, and I strive, and I just tell you, Lord, you know, Lord is my witness. He's sitting down and he's looking at me right now. He's hearing every word as I stand up here tonight in Black Creek, and he's hearing me, and he knows that a desire in my heart, and I mean an absolute desire in my heart, is just to be a Christian the rest of my life. Please draw me closer to you. Every day I beg him, please, please, please. I've been in so much pain. That I've been having, I stand up. I usually stand up and I pray like Brother Scott, throwing his hands around and this and that. But you know what? Brother Scott got up here and he preached. I'm praying. And guess what? I'm back on my knees. I don't care how much pain my back is in. God deserves my humbleness. He deserves me getting on my knees and worshiping him before I go come to him in prayer. Thank God for what he's done in my life. Thank God he sent a doctor. That finally looked at my x-ray and said, there's your problem. You have broken hardware in your back. After how long? After how long? You guys all know, you've seen it. After how long? I finally have an answer to what's going on. And why should I not be happy? You know what? Looking on him that morning praying, Lord, please help somebody, help my dad. I believe he answered their prayer. Oh, what a benefit. What a benefit. You know, the last part says, the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You know that righteousness and judgment is in your favor? If you would just turn to him, he can switch that all around. He can turn that around for you, you're good. It says for all who are oppressed. Raise your hand if you're not oppressed in this room today. Raise your hand if you never go through anything. Raise your hand if you just have a perfect life. There's some oppression in everybody's life. There's a little bit of oppression everywhere. We struggle with something. I say we. I am not Superman. I stand up here as an imperfect man saved by a perfect God. And that is it. Thank God that I'm even standing up here. Last year or 2 years ago, a guy I used to work with, he looked at me and said, Dale, I never thought you'd make it to be 22 years old. I can't believe you're going to be 43. That was a guy who was in the mafia.
Amen.
Who knew me when I started out. He said, there's no way would I ever thought that you'd make it to the age you are. Why? The Lord looked down and saw me oppressed. He saw me broke. He saw that what I needed. And he came and did it. Oh, what a benefit. Bless his name. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not his benefits. Oh, Lord, may I never lose the joy of thy salvation. May I never lose that. We have seen some of the benefits of serving God. I'm going to, in the next 5 minutes here, show a few gifts. One of the gifts is Jesus is the gift. God gave us for salvation. Salvation, abundant life. Those are gifts God gave us. Romans 6:23. Most of you know it. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." You want to go out there and have a benefit of the world? You want to go out there and have a gift from the world? There's your wage. That's your payment. Death. That's what it says, the wage. What's wage? That's a payment. So if you have a wage, if you're out there living for the world, you're living for the devil, you're living for your sin nature, guess what your wage is? Your payment is going to be death. And I'm just telling you, it's going to be eternal death, separated from God. There's more than one death. I'm talking about there's more than one death. The other death is spiritual death. And that's where a lost person sits today. You think that bothers them? Not at all. They're getting their payment. But hang on. I like the but that's here. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a benefit. That's a benefit He's given. Jesus Christ our Lord, that's what He's given us. But you know what? Most people want to sit out there and they want to sit and they want to keep getting the payments of death. That's what they want. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother the homies when they're sitting there and they're standing next to each other. All of a sudden their homeboy falls down with a big bullet hole in his head. It's okay. He just takes the drugs and guns off him, goes to the next corner and sells over there. Doesn't put no fear in him whatsoever. None. Seeing friends die from a crack overdose and heroin overdoses. I watched it many, many times. Do you know what? Do you think that scared me? Everybody accepts the wages of death, Pastor, over the gift. It's a gift. It's free. Here, take it. That's what He says. You'll never earn it. God forbid if I ever stood up here and said, yep, I earned my salvation. Oh, no. Oh, no. You know what? If it counted on me to save myself, I'd be burning for eternity. I can tell you that right now. And in eternal hell, in flames for eternity. It has nothing to do with me. It was a gift from my Heavenly Father. It was the benefit that He said, here's the gift of God, and that's eternal life. Amen. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, that is a gift of God." Well, what's the gift? The faith. That saving faith. Yes, you may have a little bit of faith in God, but I'm telling you, you don't have saving faith within your bones. It has to be something Jesus gives you.
That's right.
It has to be something Jesus gives you, is that saving faith. And when He gives it to you, it says it's a gift, not of yourselves. If you had to have faith in Jesus, then that's of yourself.
Amen.
You need saving faith. Where's the saving faith come from? Jesus Christ. It's His gift. Not of yourself, lest any man should boast. That's what it says. I had faith in Jesus Christ, but not enough to save me.
Amen.
He had to give me that saving faith. Because it was never of myself. He fulfilled it all. I thank God for that. And I'm just going to finish up with this. Proverbs 17:8 says, "A gift is precious as stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whatsoever it turneth, it prospereth." Jesus is that precious stone talked about in Proverbs. And when one has the gift of Jesus Christ, things happen. Lives change, and not always in the ways of money or wealth, as the world knows, but of forgiveness, peace, joy, happiness. In these we prosper. There is not much good left in this world. The times are hard and dark, but even in the midst of darkness, God gives us good gifts. Ecclesiastes 3:12 says, "I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." There's no good ways left in this world or the ways of man, but there is good. There's gifts and benefits to a saved child of God. What benefits and gifts are you striving for? The ones of this world and the devil, or the ones promised by God? The difference will show in your life, and the one that comes next. The choice is eternal. Remember, what gifts and benefits are you looking for? And I'm done, pal.
Yeah, good.